The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, Shasta County. Welcome. It is Sunday, the 22nd of, what is this? This is September, 22nd of September. And walking into the studio this morning, and we are broadcasting live, by the way. This is a live show, not pre-recorded, in the heart of District 1 here in Northern California, in Redding, in the heart of Redding. It is 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. Your talk radio, and again, you can listen to us streaming online at kcnr1460.com, and all my shows are archived there, as well as votekevincry.com. You can see every show we've done over the past couple years at votekevincry.com, and I'd encourage you to go there and sign up for the newsletter, because it's going to help you keep up to date with a lot of things that are going to be happening here in the next 2 or 3 months for myself, and just helps keep you informed. And you can always follow me on Facebook as well at Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook. And I want to say thank you before we start to our producer. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Redding.
David.
Shasta County.
Shasta County, that's right, and beyond. We have listeners like my Uncle Bud who listens in Yorba Valley down in Southern California, which never could get him to move up here. He should, but that's okay because he's got a ton of golf courses right around his house, and that's what he likes. So I walked into the studio today, and David gave me a Billy Joel 52nd Street album, and it's from 1978 because that's the album that had my lead-in song, My Life. And he gave me like a really, really nice copy in a plastic sleeve. So, David, thank you so much. That's super thoughtful.
Very welcome. Yes. What a great song, too. What a great song to start out with for your show.
Yeah, no, it's great. And on us. And this is, and this wasn't orchestrated by him, because that's not who David is. And I don't know him super well, but I know him well enough to know his heart in doing something like this. But he owns Cascade Creations downtown. And David, take a couple minutes and tell people what Cascade Creations is.
Very cool. Yeah, we're located across from Jack's. That's what most people know for location in the Foundry Square. And we've got an art gallery of local artists. That's what all of our walls are, local art. We've got records. We've got music instruments. And we've also got, my wife is really good with the clothing. And we've got incredible prices. You don't hear people advertise low, low prices anymore, right? But that's we're saying we've got low prices. Come and check us out. Yeah,
that's awesome. And he'll be actually starting tomorrow, giving my son guitar lessons. We're still trying to decide if it's going to be acoustic or electric because my son has both. When my father-in-law passed away, my son inherited essentially some of his instruments, and so we look forward to that. And I'll be updating everybody on if you're a good teacher or not. How's that?
Right on. Sounds great.
All right. So jumping into the weather, I get all my weather at Weather NorCal. A friend of mine, Mike Kruger, haven't talked to him probably in a couple months because at this point I've become so accustomed to opening his app and checking it out and how easy it is to use. So it's not a paid sponsor. That's just where I get my weather. Or actually where I get my weather is I say, hey, Sarah, what's the weather going to be like this week? And she said, you know, you have hands and a phone. You know, get it yourself. So that's usually the answer I get. Once in a while she'll tell me. But this week, it's going to be like 100 tomorrow, and it's going to be about 95 Wednesday. But other than that, tomorrow, or like Tuesday, Thursday, Friday is like 90, 91, 92, so it's low 90s. So we're still feeling like in the throes of summer, but that's what makes Shasta County great, is we keep the weather warm enough where we don't have too many people move here because it's still uncomfortable for them. So I like Shasta County staying around 180,000 people. I don't want it to be 250,000 people. But I'll tell you what, if it's 250,000 of the right people who love, you know, that are, that's a melting pot. It takes all kinds, but people that are really here to like say hi to you, open a door for you. If they bump into you in Costco, they say they're sorry. And that's what I don't want to lose ever about Shasta County. Cause I got to tell you, when I went to Rockland yesterday, my son and a bunch of his friends. We have a little basketball team, and we started up, played a fall tournament, and went down to Rockland. And you can just tell when you get outside of Shasta County sometimes about the busyness of people's lives. And, you know, if they bump into you in a store or you hold the door open for them and they don't say thank you. And, you know, I don't ever hold the door open for anybody because I want to get the thank you. I do it because it's the polite, you know, thing to do. That's the way my parents raised me. I'll say that's the way my mom raised me. Not that my dad didn't, but my mom was essentially a single parent. And it's really, really important to me that, you know, you just do those things and you have to constantly remind yourself. When I'm out of town, I got to constantly remind myself I'm doing those things, letting people in, like to merge in traffic, or letting somebody, like you hold the door open for somebody at a restaurant and they go in front of you and then they put, you know, their name in, party of eight, and you're like two, and you're like, okay, well, I hold the door open for you and you're ahead of me, but that's fine. You have to constantly remember, like, why you do those things. You don't do those things because that, you know, that's who you are, not because you expect something in return. And I'll tell you, when I get out of Shasta County, it becomes tougher and tougher. And even in Shasta County, in Costco now, I really have noticed, you know, the past few years, especially since COVID, how many people have moved here who don't live that way. And it becomes a much more East Coast feel, which is fine. So we hustled down to Rockland, coached a couple games. Kids did great. It was awesome. It's great to see kids playing who haven't ever played together before, because you're seeing kids from different backgrounds, different socioeconomic statuses, different schools, learning how to play together. And the outcomes are phenomenal. It's not even about winning or losing. It's just really about competing and growing in yourself. So I raced home because we had games at 10 and 12. We only had one game off because I had to be back for the Girls Inc. fundraiser last night. And I took my mom. My mom was my date, and it reminded me of college in 99 at Simpson. You know, they don't have dances. Simpson back then was very, very, I mean, it's still a Christian university, but it's a very different university now. Back then it was very discipleship based. So you had a statement of faith, and it was really about growing in your faith. Now it's more evangelical in the sense that I don't even know if you have to do a statement of faith anymore. And Simpson people, please don't email me, hate stuff. I just don't know, but it's a very different feel. But back then there was no dance because the joke was, you know, sex leads the dancing, as if dancing's worse in some ways. So there was just a banquet, a senior banquet. So my mom was my date, my senior year of college to that. And it was really neat because my wife's at a retreat with a friend of hers, up, I think it's in Lassen Pines, and it's a women's retreat. And so I took my mom, and my mom and I went, and it was a great time. And the Girls Inc. fundraiser, if you're not familiar with that organization, check them out. They do some phenomenal things for young girls, sending them to camp. They raised quite a bit of money last night, so that was great. And the theme was an 80s prom theme, so that was pretty cool as well. So catching up for the week, the last couple weeks, a lot's really happened. And I have a bunch of notes here, and usually I script stuff out and it's a little less free flowing, but today's going to be pretty free flowing because I don't know how long I'll talk on some of these points and things that have happened in the last 2 weeks. And I will be taking callers, but when I say I'll be taking callers, I'm not calling for a really long conversation about a topic. If you want to make a statement on something I'm talking about, or you have a question, please ask it and hop off. But that number is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. I don't take callers really often, but I will today. So many of you probably saw the Facebook post of a young man named Frederick Phillips, who had an altercation with Officer Brian Cowan. And there was a lot of Facebook posts. I mean, I don't know. I probably saw at least four or five, some of them with over 100 comments just on that one post, about a traffic stop that really went sideways. And I've always been a huge, huge supporter of law enforcement, Back the Blue, way before. I mean, even when I was in, you know, junior high and high school, I never wanted to be a cop or a firefighter. But I remember at a very young age, I remember, like, you know, everyone's running out of these buildings, but these guys are running in, like the firefighters. And just had a huge amount of respect. I mean, one of the reasons I joined the military at 30 was because I had a high school student say that I had never joined. So how do I know the military is a great thing? So huge respect for the tactical forces, law enforcement, police, etc. And so Mr. Phillips, and again, I knew Ricky. He was Ricky Turgill then. I knew him at Parsons. I coached him in sixth grade, seventh grade, and eighth grade. And he's got a phenomenal, him and his bride, his wife, have a lovely microgreens business. And so I've known them a really, really long time. Ricky was actually an usher in my wedding. I had my whole eighth grade basketball team be my ushers. So it was, I won't go through the list of kids, but a lot of them are local leaders and business people here. And I still have relationships with them, which is phenomenal. But they were all my ushers. So I've known Ricky a really, really long time. And as a realtor and then now with his current business. So fast forward to the officer who pulled Ricky over for speeding, Brian Cowan. And Brian Cowan, I went to high school with. We played football together. We now go to the same church. I believe he still goes. The pathway has grown so much that there's so many different services. I tend to go to all different services, so I don't ever see the same people. But Brian Cowan is a good man. Frederick Phillips is a good man. And so I got a phone call from a mutual friend of Ricky and mine saying, hey, did you hear what happened to Ricky? And I said, no, not at all. And what I've learned, you know, I think everybody knows this, but what I've learned is I just go to the source. I don't like hearsay. I just don't do that. Politics has taught me that. It's, you know, there's credible sources and there's the whole trust but verify. But now I've really become a person that says, look, you can give me the lead in, give me the crib notes, but I'm going to call the individual myself. And so I called Ricky and just said, hey man, what happened? So he shares his story with me. And but at the very beginning, he said, and he knows the officer's name, and he says, Officer Brian Cowan. And my heart just like sunk because I'm like, oh no. And not because I thought either, not that I didn't believe Ricky's story, or I didn't, I was concerned about confronting Brian on it. But, you know, he tells me the story, and we get off the phone, and I call Brian. And I say, hey, man, like, what's going on? What can you say? Because anytime, and I know this from dealing with Sheriff Johnson and the Sheriff's Department, you know, there's officers have a protocol, so I didn't want to put him on the spot of any way. But, and I got a phone call as an elected official. The person that called me didn't call me because they knew I knew Ricky. They called me because they thought there was an injustice and that I would want to know about it. So I talked to both of them, and this is and at the county, we're going to be bringing in body cams. And this is something a couple of us have been pretty outspoken about. And there's not a single supervisor that doesn't think it's a good idea. Why we haven't done them in the past, it doesn't really matter. But what matters is that we're doing it now. And you know, Brian just said, wait till the footage comes out and make your own decision. I said, okay. And I've tried to call Ricky, and I know we'll talk again. And the thing about that situation, I'll tell you, if I had both of them over for dinner, they would be laughing. They would be ribbing each other, or I would be ribbing both of them because they're very different in stature. I mean, Brian is a big man, always has been. And when he did traffic and was on the bike, you know, through town, I used to always laugh because, you know, I always felt like, I said, Brian, it looks like you're riding a moped. And he's got this big helmet on, and he's got this big shoulders, and he's riding this little bike. And it was really tough. And it's been tough because, you know, I might even try and get them both together at some point. Saying that now because it's just, you know, I want people to be engaged in the conversation of healing, because you can have, you know, I think each of them could have handled some things, I won't say differently, because both of them, you know, they have their own path, and that's okay. But I mean, Brian was, as a cop, you know, my brother-in-law is CHP. My other brother-in-law is retired lieutenant, in RPD. What they have to deal with on a day in, I mean, you can't let your guard down. I'll never forget, the sheriff's officer, Officer Dave Mobilio, down in, Red Bluff, because I was training once in a while down at Tehama County Family Fitness where he worked out. And then, you know, sitting in his car, and then, of course, is executed. And that was, I think, probably roughly 20 years ago now. So cops can't let their guards down. It's just, that's just the world, we live in. So, I just wanted to share that because that's really been on my heart lately, watching two people I truly, truly deeply care about both, and to have them in that situation was, you know, really, really tough. And it's just the reality of what we deal with, as society. We have these polarizing sides sometimes of everything, but for me, looking back at, you know, the situation, talking to both, my heart sinking when I hear who's involved. And, you know, it is what it is. So I'm going to get off that topic and, move to a heavier topic, I guess, because we'll stay on a long, enforcement theme. But a few months ago, I had a grandmother and a mother on my radio show, from District 1 that reached out to me and said that they weren't getting justice for their daughter who was, molested, by an employer. And, it wasn't moving at all. You know, their expression to me was the district attorney's office, had basically, stopped a lot of communication with them. They didn't know what else to do. So they came on the radio show just to tell their story. And for me, what was really tough about the situation was this individual was operating a business still, right by five schools, Shasta High School, UPrep, Pioneer, the UPrep, junior high, as well as I think Independent or Freedom are right there as well. And so I got pretty upset about it, and we talked about it, and I've talked about it quite a bit. And then, pretty quickly after, he was arraigned, and going forward, then he was, charged. And this last week he was sentenced, and he was sentenced to, 2 years, 8 months in prison. And they're going to come on. They were maybe going to come on today and just kind of share what they learned about this process. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about what they learned. I just got little bits and pieces from them, and a lot of things that they want to share about the criminal justice system, about justice for their daughter, about being a voice. And so I'm going to have them on a future show. But I want to congratulate the district attorney's office for getting that conviction and sending this individual off to prison. He'll have to register as a sex offender for the rest of his life. But the 2 years and 8 months, I hope he does every single second of that time. When you go after a child, a vulnerable young child, there's a special place in a special other place that you need to be. And I hope he gets the help and gets the life change and does something really productive with the rest of his life. Cause I just want to bring closure to that. With that, there is the Justice 180 Crab Feed is September 28th. It's next Saturday. The money raised from that goes to sex trafficking. If you know Coach Greg Grandel, he's leading that with a team. So, you know, here's what I'm going to do, and this is actually really spur of the moment. I have a table, and I actually have a couple seats left. If anybody would like to attend that, with me, I'm going to sell those seats, but I'm not going to sell them where it goes to me. I'm going to sell those two seats to, and again, not like it's some big prize to sit with me, but I'm just saying, you know, if you want to donate, you know, $1,000 for those two seats, call in or send me a message, and those two seats are yours. You know, our table is a pretty eclectic group of friends and supporters that I've had throughout my time as the District 1 supervisor. But, you know, if you want those two seats, now keep in mind, I paid $1,000 for, you know, I mean, I think a table is $1,000. I think that's what I paid last year. So if you want those two tickets, they're yours, $1,000. I think it's sold out, but I want my table to raise money. So those two tickets, you'd make your check out to Justice Crab Feed. And anyway, so moving on from that, you know, I guess we'll stay on the topic of kids and youth organizations. I sit on the board of Youth Option Shasta. I'm proud to announce that we have a new executive director, first new executive director I believe we've had in roughly 13 years. It's Jennifer Coulter. She's been with the organization, I don't know if it's been, you know, 7 years, 10 years. I'm not really sure. She's been there as long as I've been there, and I've been there a year and a half. And there's been great, what's the word? There's been great emotion over the changing of the guard, so to speak. And I won't talk about it really right now, because I think the most important thing is that this organization moves forward. This organization does something that is, because I think we do some of the most important work in Shasta County, and I'd like to see it grow exponentially. We do youth peer court. That's one of the things that Youth Options does, and really what that is that's a diversion program for kids who are just about to enter the criminal justice system in a very heavy way, and they can enter peer court and get their life turned around through the process of understanding. I think if you boil it down, what it is people are understanding that their actions have consequences. And much like, you know, when you have a person of faith talk about, you know, all sin is the same. Well, people say, well, that can't be true. If you steal a candy bar versus you murder somebody, how is that? How does God see that as the same as sin? It's like, well, no, actually, the sin is sin, but the ramifications and the fallout from those decisions can be different, stealing a candy bar or murder. So in Youth Option Shasta, what we have is when kids enter the youth peer court, they're around other kids that may have done something much more severe, but are still able to qualify for youth peer court, so they can, you know, and I don't want to say scared straight, but that's what happened to me. I mean, I toilet papered and egged a house, a friend of mine, and just, you know, just another classmate in sixth grade. And I had to go pick up trash at Volani Park. I had to do a bunch of community service, like 30 hours. And that was it for me. It was like, you know what? I don't want any part of getting in trouble and doing that kind of stuff, because that's not – I didn't like that at all. And I will say I'm glad I got caught, and I'm glad that the punishment back then seemed really, really stiff, because, you know, my brother didn't really get caught until he was much older and much deeper into heavier things. And that's not always a good thing. So I would really, really encourage people, if you want to get involved with a nonprofit, we're going to make some huge strides, new direction, a new board focus, and now's the time to get involved if you're interested in getting involved with kids and really helping turn their lives around. And you know, with this process, I actually got to file a police report. And when I say process, is I'm going to segue now into some of the work we do as supervisors. I got to file my first police report It was a week and a half ago, but it was after the last radio show. And I won't go into a lot of detail with it, but one of the things is when you do something to a child, or you take money from a child organization, you know, I will die on that hill to bring justice for kids. I mean, that's just the thing about kids is they're not going to slow down making them, and the people raising them seem to be getting worse and worse. And so organizations like Girls Inc., organizations like Youth Option Shasta, organizations like the Police Athletic League and Detective Jake Duncan and as the chair and leading that organization, those organizations are what's really going to stop the crime and the drug and the homeless situation. But it's not going to happen now. We have to get to our kids now, so those individuals in the community in 20 years, let's just say 10 years, aren't entering in to the criminal justice system where now they're in and out of jail. Maybe they experience homelessness, drug addiction, and then, of course, it doesn't always mean it leads to mental health issues, but there's no way you can't have a clear mental outlook on life if you've been in and out of the justice system, as well as been experimenting with narcotics. So I believe the way we turn Shasta County around is we really double down more and more on our youth. So that's all I'm going to say about that for now. It looks like we're coming up to our first break. When we come back out of the break, we're going to really talk a lot about we have some school bond measures. We have quite a bit with elections coming up. We have a lot of debates and things that I'll be hosting, much like I did with the supervisor races. I'll be doing that over my next 3 shows over the next 6 weeks. So with that, we'll take a 2-minute break, and we'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243 CT Reading.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Tiger and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG-guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no-side-effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult-to-treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by, get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
And we are back broadcasting live down here in the studio at KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, also streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Before the break, we talked a little bit just about youth organizations, and really one of the things I ran on again is, well, I won't say I ran on anything with kids, but as the chair this year, I had a goal of really trying to push into youth. And one of the things, because of the ridiculous recall attempt, it slowed down a lot of the work I wanted to do as it relates to kids. So now I'm really, it's not like the two-minute drill in the fourth quarter of a football game, but I am trying to catch up and get some of the other things move forward, but not trying to press staff where it's like a frantic pace. I have been working a little bit with SCOE lately, and again, this is what's really tough when we talk about transparency, and I'll try and be really succinct in this. But you know, one of the things that's really, because transparency is something I ran on very, very strongly, and what's been tough is sometimes as elected officials or even just people in general, we're faced with, if we're transparent, it might not be for the greater good, because there might be something that's an unintended consequence of being upfront. And what I mean by that is, you know, it goes back to the thing, is it more important to be right or get it right? And that's one of the trickiest things I've really had to learn in politics, because there's things like, I'll always go back to this. It's like the whole Mike Lindell trip and stuff like that. And being transparent, because for me, I feel like if I'm just not an oversharer, I'm hiding something. And that's how I've always been. Like when I started Upper Hand Athletics in 1999, I made t-shirts and I had my name and my pager number. That's how old I am, right, people? Is my pager number was on my sleeve. And the joke, you know, or people would say, you know, Kevin wears his heart on his sleeve. And then a person said that, and I'm literally wearing one of my t-shirts. He goes, well, actually, Kevin's name is on his sleeve, so there you go. And I've always wanted to be so, I mean, that's why probably in basketball, if I think there's a bad call, I have a really hard time not letting somebody know that that was a bad call. Now, I definitely have calmed down, and I see the greater good for what sports is about. But still, the theme is I have a hard time not calling stuff out. And one of the things I've also really, I would say, honed in and learned is, you know, I'm able to say, you know, I don't know, or I was wrong, or I'm sorry. I've had to say all three of those things because of one instance or in one sentence. So I'm okay with that. So the transparency part with SCOE is I'm looking into things and I'm really asking because I want to see metrics. I want to see how money is being spent by the county that might be a pass-through to you know, SCOE and what they're doing with it. And I've got a small team of volunteers that help me collect data or help me understand. And these aren't county employees, although I do sometimes work with, you know, county employees just getting an email and getting something clarified or getting a spreadsheet. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of questions that I'm going to be asking over the next few weeks about SCOE and about money we're spending. Because one of the – a comment was made that, you know, the county gets the money. They have to give it somewhere. SCOE's the only one that does it. So what's the big deal? Just give it to us. And it was like, that doesn't sit really well with me. You know, if there's money being spent and there is outcomes that we're seeking, and if we're getting suboptimal outcomes, and I'm not saying we are, but I'm saying if we are, then we need to find out why there can't be another organization that spins up and does that. Because as we know, our test scores and our attendance and our you know, the forward movement of the education machine in California is really not improving. We continue to fall, and we're spending more money than ever. And so at least for the little I can do with what I have jurisdiction, and I won't even say I have jurisdiction, that our county board has jurisdiction over, let's really get to the bottom of it. You know, we had two supervisors at our meeting talk about attending a board meeting and stuff, and they have no clue about a lot of this stuff, about the questions, about where this money goes. It's just kind of like, well, it's on the consent calendar. Let's just get the big rubber stamp or the big sledgehammer and just pass it through, because we're definitely making changes, and there's definitely things that are going to be improved, because, you know, when I've asked staff at SCOE for metrics, and they do provide some, but then I use what's called the why shovel. You say why, and as you keep drilling down, you're able to really figure out that, you know, this is just becomes a company line that nobody truly knows why. We're just trying to figure out what the outcomes are and what are the metrics that are provided that says, are we meeting the goal or not? So you're going to see that coming forward quite a bit. And another thing that we're really that's been a big topic lately is the court system. The district attorney has had a series of press releases about cases getting dismissed, and I'm not going to go super into detail with that. You know, I did like I mentioned at a board meeting, the sheriff, myself, and Melissa Fowler Bradley from the court. She's the CEO of the big new building there on Court Street, the new courthouse. She runs that. She just got a big national award for her work. I think it was national. Might have been state, might have been national. It was one of the two. It was a really prestigious award. Only three people, I believe, received it, and you know, which is a really big deal. And again, I only know because the people in that vertical or in that space say it's a really, really rare thing for someone to get that, like in Shasta County. So anyway, very well respected, I'll just say that, among the state in her, by her peers. And so I'm just trying to get to the bottom of, like, what is it? Again, is it no courtrooms, no judges, lack of judges? Are the judges not working hard enough? Are we not arresting people? Are we arresting people, but there's nowhere to put them in the jail, so they're getting kicked out? Or are we arresting them, but we're just not prosecuting them, and we're not sending them to a trial? And there's all these questions. And what I've learned is I just want to get the people to the table, but I want the people to get to the table in a very open public setting, because when you talk about transparency, again, I'm going to bring that up. There are so many things that people say, well, I can't share this publicly, or I can't say this publicly, or I can't. I mean, I've spoken to judges. I've spoken to and D.A. Bridget and I had spoken because of the police report I filed. We've spoken a couple times, and we've talked about getting together for the courts, and I want to fully understand that. But it's not a witch hunt for me against the sheriff, or me against the public defender, or me against the district attorney, or me against the courts. I just want to get the information. And one thing about being in public office for me is, you know, my calls are returned, you know, and that's not, and I kind of shrug, and it's not a prideful thing, but it's the truth. My calls are returned, and I get them returned pretty quick, or I can drop in somewhere and, you know, 9 times out of 10, people are gonna meet with me. And I don't wield that in a sense that they're gonna do what I say. That's not it at all. I just want to make our community safer, and I want to get things that are out there, because our media does a terrible job. Well, our media does a great job of what they want. They want to stoke division. They want to stoke fire. They want to stoke vitriol. They want people arguing because that provides clicks, and that provides shares and videos, and that's what they want. And it's not just locally. It's nationally. And I didn't realize it was so bad locally until I got into politics. I mean, I didn't even know that existed. But that's what they want to do. So the only way we're going to actually get some straight answers is by getting the people in the room, almost in a public forum. But even then, that becomes pretty tough because people say, well, I can't speak openly and freely in certain in certain environments because I just can't. And part of it sometimes does come down to like an HR rule or a law that just says, you know, it's forbidden for people to say certain things. But if you watched Mike Mangus's interview of Melissa Fowler Bradley and talked a little bit about myself, or he interviewed me as well, I get from that there's a lot that isn't being said that needs to be said. So how do we as the public get to the bottom of it? You know, so, cause we're looking to, and I brought this up, let's hire this consultant. And there's a consultant out of Virginia that is phenomenal. They do this all across the country. And it's a research group that comes in for 6 to 8 weeks, and they get really deep into the public defender's office, the district attorney's office, the sheriff's office, the other municipalities, law enforcement offices, the city of Reading, city of Anderson, sheriff's office, of course, and they get a really good analysis, but that it could take quite some time. So for me, it sounds like a lot of people know what's going on, but the public doesn't necessarily know. And even for myself, like I've been told things, but again, just like going back to the top of the show and I talked about Ricky and Brian, I don't want to hear what other people say. I want to sit with, you know, I want to sit and talk to Ricky, and I want to sit and talk to Brian, and two people can have a very different story about what happened. But the one thing that I always come back to when it does talk about performance or you talk about outcomes is data. You provide the data. Show me the numbers. Show me how many court cases were filed in this period of time. Show me how many court cases were filed in this period of time. Show me how many cases went to trial or were pled down. Show me how many judges we had in 18 versus 20 versus 22 versus 24. Show me what other counties of similar size are doing. Like, I just want the data. And I would invite all of you to just go with me on a fact-finding mission of getting to the bottom of this. You know, and there are so many things out there. It's like the rodeo, right? And I'm not going to get off the court system thing right now, but it's like the rodeo. There's so much information out there. So it's like you got to pick and choose. I don't want to say your battles, but you know, pick and choose what you really want to spend your time going really, really deep into. And one of the things for me is most, and I definitely won't say all, but many of the things that come up for me are constituent led. I made a commitment when I got into office that I was going to be the most accessible, transparent, open, approachable candidate or supervisor, you know, in history. And I don't even want to say supervisor in Shasta County. I mean, when I gave my direct phone number out on national television, the people interviewing me were just mortified. Like, I can't believe you just did that. And I got a few calls, but that's okay because I'm going to risk being available for that information. So if people want to learn more about what's going on in the court system, the judicial system, you know, our lack of judges, or actually maybe not our lack of judges. What is it? You know, reach out, come to the board meeting, express your opinion, and let's see if we can't get something that's, a workable plan in place. Because if it is true, if we can get people to the table and have that discussion, we can save the county quite a bit of money to not have to go through that process. And honestly, it'll just expedite the outcome of making our area safer because we got to figure it out. And that's what's extremely, extremely important to me. Now, going over to something else that has to do with being involved is a lot of the it looks like we have a caller. David, I didn't even know that I recognized that. We'll take a quick caller. Is it Clark? Is that what it says? Clark, are you there?
Yeah. Hey, Kevin.
Welcome.
Hey, I know we have I know we have a past, but in the issue of constructiveness and on the child issue you were bringing up, you know, maybe we can have some common ground on this one. Last week there was a publicized news threat thing about Cottonwood schools, and the sheriff's department said not believable, but that was the threat being dispersed, and just because they didn't have a simple case of go arrest so-and-so person, they just abandoned the investigation. This is wrong.
Okay. Well, hey, Clark, thank you. Yeah, and I'm not sure, I'm not sure who that was, Clark. I really apologize. Maybe it's, anyway, so, and I'm not even sure what you're speaking to. So, Chris Kellstrom, if you're listening to this and you know, the gentleman that just called in, maybe run that down. But, anyway, thank you for calling in, Clark. I appreciate that. The school board measures we have, there's, I believe, one in Cottonwood. There's, Cascade School in Anderson has one, I believe, as well as Pacheco has one. I know Shasta Union High School District has one. There's a lot of bond measures coming up that voters get to vote on. And I met with Superintendent Jim Cloney, this last week and, you know, asking if I would support it, and I'd support it as, you know, if I would support it as a parent. Because, you know, I have a child at Foothill High School. I have a wife who teaches in the district. She was at Shasta for years. Now she's at Foothill. She moved over there when our daughter decided to go to Foothill. And also just supported as a supervisor. And one of the things that, and I'm 90, and I told him this actually yesterday. I messaged him just to, because I told him I needed a few days to kind of look into it. And I still have a little bit more looking to do. So I will say I'm like 99.8% there. I just have to run one more thing down, but the one thing with school bonds is they are very specific oftentimes of what the money's going to go to. And some of these, if I understand it correctly, are already in place, so you're just basically extending what's already there. One of the questions I asked is, if we do school bonds and the money's local, does that help us not be so reliant on what the state gives us and what the state could have to hand down in regards to, you know, money we could receive as schools, but we'd have to do X, Y, and Z. Now, we all know that most schools and most government agencies, you know, they usually tend to fully accept the strings and go with it. And that's not where I am on a lot of things. I'm not interested in sometimes exchange and compromise is okay, but it depends. Are we compromising our beliefs, our integrity, our ideology, of what we think is best for kids or people or a project? I just won't compromise that stuff. But I will tell you, everybody, I'm never for raising taxes. But what I will tell you is, I believe more than ever we have to really double and triple and quadruple down on kids. But with that said, be really, really aware of what that bond money is going for. Most likely, you know, infrastructure, buildings, maintenance, except things that need to be either kept up or built. But kids are at a huge disadvantage in this day and age. I believe much more so than when I grew up. I mean, every generation has its it's, you know, hard things or crosses to bear for kids. But, you know, I have three kids myself, now a grandson, but my daughter who's, 20, she's 21, my other daughter being 16, my son that's 12. I've seen the difference in each of them in junior high, what they dealt with, what they've gone through. And since COVID, it's just a lot different. It's a lot different. So as far as these bond measures go, I would encourage you to really, really read into them. Understand what it is, but supporting kids, supporting your local school is extremely important if what they're putting forward matches up with what you think you want your money to go to. But there's nothing better than investing in kids. Oh, it looks like we have another caller. Rich, are you there?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Rich.
Yeah, so you were talking about law enforcement and not prosecuting cases, et cetera. You know, I really wish the police unions, RPD and the sheriff, I wish they would come out with a report, because I don't think we're going to get the honest answers from the DA of their annual submissions of serious crimes and what the DA did with those. because I know the cops. A lot of us know a lot of these cops. I know a couple of them, and they're extremely frustrated at all their hard work being round-filed. And what do you think that does to the cops after months and months and years and years? You know, their give-a-damn gets busted. And then the kids, right, and then the kids start having verbal arguments with the cops. You saw the news story last week. I mean, it just, it's the broken window theory, and it gets worse and worse. So I really wish the unions would come out of their shells and give some statistics. And then real quick, good to see everybody hopefully next weekend, Saturday at 10 a.m., Lake Redding Park Gazebo for Get Out the Vote. Thanks, Jeff.
You bet. So that's Saturday, 10 a.m., Get Out the Vote, Lake Redding Gazebo. I know quite a few, I think, elected officials were invited down there even just to be a resource for people wanting information about getting involved in their local government, but then also candidates there will be speaking, and that's at 10 o'clock next Saturday. So I would encourage people to try and make it out there to Lake Redding Park. So pretty much I'm going to put a bow on the whole school bond issue. I really think when the voter, as the voter guide comes out, and if you're living in an area that does have a bond measure up, read it, call your superintendent, call your, even your principal, or even, I mean, I don't know that your teacher, would be the resource, not that your teachers in those districts won't know, but, I would really recommend talking to the principal or the superintendent, and also for being the spouse of a teacher, the teacher is probably going to be wanting to spend more time with the kids on curriculum, on the educational process, and talking about the political process. But I can be wrong. So I do want to let everybody know that I'm going to be firing my coffees back up here pretty soon. The tough thing for me is, like, this last week I was in Sonoma for RCRC, which is the Rural Counties Representatives of California. And being down there on Saturday, on Friday, I'd have to cancel the coffee. So I'm trying to find a pace now where I could do every Friday again, and it's just not coming up. So I would encourage everybody to, again, go to votekevincry.com, fill out the quick form, just your name and your email address, and I will be getting that out as I've done in the past. I'll say I'm not great at writing newsletters, and I don't do it because honestly, you get an email. If you're like me, you get hundreds of emails a week, and by the time you see it, something could be gone. So, you know, I've used SendPulse and, you know, things like that, where you could send out a big text. But now that we're in election season, probably many of you are getting tons of texts about, you know, support this candidate, support that candidate. Even, you know, I get stuff from, you know, a ton of different state and federal races, not even having to do with California. Again, just try and stay as close as you can, because I'm going to get those dates and those locations out. I have been invited to come up to Fall River and Bernie, Shingletown and Anderson, as well as a couple different ones in Redding. And I try in District 1, I try and keep them to Kaleidoscope on Athens, because it's pretty centrally located, and it's easy to get on and off the freeway. Either you're coming from Park Marina or from I-5. And going down Cypress. So I tend to do my Reading ones there. But anyway, the other thing, too, that I'm really looking to start doing, and I might talk about this a little bit at the Board of Supervisors meeting on Tuesday, but I want to start doing a Facebook Live once a week at a given time. So I really cherish taking my son to school, and that's kind of our time, and it's not always great. It's not always great time. He might be doing Pokemon Go, or I might be listening to KCNR, or a book on, I don't want to call it a book on tape, but I might be listening to a book. And so sometimes we just, you know, we say a few words. Other times, we talk the entire time. We talk NBA basketball or whatever, or just life. And I like to be available for him. So, but right now I'm leaning towards like a 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. On Mondays. So I haven't settled on that yet, and it wouldn't be tomorrow, but it may be the following Monday. So just be prepared. And again, if you follow me on Facebook, Vote Kevin Cry, you'll see that as well. And again, I just had a constituent text me and said, and thank you, Kathy, to say maybe do a monthly coffee. And, oftentimes what we tell ourselves is, if I can't do everything, I don't want to do anything. You know, that's what happens in fitness. A lot of people say, well, if I can't, you know, have a cardiovascular time and stretch time and lifting time and I can't eat perfect, then what's the point of starting? Well, you got to start somewhere. And I'm reading a book right now. I'll say listening to a book, Atomic Habits. And it's a great book. James, clearly you should check it out. But, you know, it's about those small incremental steps, and that's what we have to do. So I think the Facebook Live thing is going to be Mondays at 7. I'm really leaning towards that. And it's just about getting more and more of the message out. And when I say the message, it's just the things we're talking about that we care about here in Shasta County. My next few shows, I think it's October – let me pull it up here. It's October 6th, I believe, is my next show. Yeah, October 6th. And then the 20th, and then November 3rd. Those 3 weeks, I'm going to have debates or conversations with candidates. Now, I can't say, like in the primary, as an example, I had so many candidates for District 2 that I just did 15-minute interviews. And you know, I had Suzanne Barrymore in, and I think a lot of people. I mean, I know a lot of people were very complimentary of myself. I mean, this isn't tooting my own horn, but this is to say they're like, wow, like you asked her like honest questions. You didn't go after her. Now, keep in mind, she wasn't wearing a Recall Kevin Christ shirt when she was in studio, but she was, you know, a huge proponent and a Kickstarter, will you say, with the Recall. But I brought her in, asked her questions like I did everybody else because I can separate stuff and I can be fair. So in District 2, we broke it up that way. District 4, as an example, we had Supervisor Jones in with candidate Matt Plummer. And, of course, I mean, and Matt knew, and I've known Matt, and I was supporting Patrick. But, again, it's about an open dialogue. I feel it's my job with this show, my show, to give people the honest opportunity to kind of look and see what's going on and let them make up their own decision. Now, in the District 3 race for supervisor, Wynn Carpenter and Corky Harmon both accepted to come in. Mary Rickert had a conflict, so she couldn't. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask, and I haven't asked Corky yet, but I will ask Mary. I'm doing it right now on the radio, but I'm going to let her pick which of those 3 days works better. And if one of those 3 days don't work, what we'll do is we'll just pre-record it. So Supervisor Rickert, I will be reaching out to you. I may just see you on Tuesday, but I will give you any of those 3 days to do it live, or we can pre-record it. And then we'll play it on one of those 3 days. The other candidates for the city of Reading, we're going to pick one of those 2 days. And then the last one I would really like to do would be the assembly race. I'm not sure if I can get Heather Hadwick and Tanessa to come in and do it, or we pre-record it. But I have and that's one race that I'm really still interested in hearing. I mean, because there's things about each of them that I'm very, very interested in hearing and asking them the questions. I spent quite a bit of time with a supervisor, Ned Coe, up in MODOC. We had a really long talk, and he's supporting Tanessa Audette. And then there's someone like Mark Mazzano, who I respect. He's actually running as well for the city of Reading. He was the top vote getter in his election when he ran 4 years ago, and he was the top vote getter for assembly here in Shasta County, but he's supporting Heather Hadwick. So there's people I really, really respect who are supporting different candidates, and I'd like to have them both in here. So just so everybody knows, the pecking order of this is I'm going to ask Supervisor Rickert which day she wants, and we'll stream it live just like I did with the other ones. You can go back and watch those. I think it was very productive, and I think it was important. And, again, when we talk about transparency, I think that's the most important thing that I can offer people in the public is just an opportunity to see candidates and to see what's going on, you know, in the community. So the last thing I want to touch on, and I'll be pretty quick about this because we only have about a minute left, is I really want to encourage people to if you're going to come to the Board of Supervisors and you want to speak in public comment or you want to on an item, you know, whether it's like R4 or R2 or whatever it is, I would encourage people to really bring solutions. There's been a couple people that have brought some things forward in the time I've been there that actually we've spent a lot of time on looking at the viability of some of those things, because a lot of times people come up and they just complain, which is fine. That's your right. It is your time. But being solutions oriented I think, is what's going to be really, really, really needed. Because regardless of what happens this November in all the local races and the federal races, it's going to really take a lot of people rowing together to try and come back to the table and get this, state, country, but especially our city and our county, really rowing.